You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Free agency officially about to get underway tomorrow. A lot of craziness coming here over the next several days and weeks as the Seahawks look to rebuild their roster for the 2021 season. A lot of free agents such as Chris Carson and Shaquille Griffin set to hit the market. Remain to be seen how many of those players will be back in Seattle and how many of them will be with another team next season. This is going to be an all Q&A-centric episode. We're going to be answering your questions going into tomorrow's start of the non-tampering period. General managers have already been talking to a lot of these players anyway, but tomorrow's when they're officially allowed to begin discussions with free agents. And so let's get to it. First question here coming from Gavin Bruderer asks, would the Seahawks consider bringing back Mike Davis with Carson out the door? So we don't know if Chris Carson is gone yet or not. I do think the news today coming out with Aaron Jones signing a deal worth near $50 million to stay with the Green Bay Packers over the next 4 years certainly helps Chris Carson's case to get a bit more money, but he has a much more lengthy injury history than what Aaron Jones does. And so I still think that's going to leave some teams to pause in regard to sending him a lot of money on a long-term contract. So there's still maybe an opportunity that Chris Carson comes back to Seattle. If I had to predict right now, I think he's going to be on another team. I think he's going to be priced out of what Seattle's willing to pay to bring him back. As for Mike Davis, though, he's a player that did really well his couple seasons with the Seahawks when he had his opportunities. He fits their scheme well. He can run wide zone well. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that under Shane Waldron. So expecting him to be a guy that is going to be coveted by a few teams as a reserve running back, I think he would be very welcome to coming back to Seattle. So I think there is a chance that he could be a player they look at to couple with Rashad Penny as well as Alex Collins, maybe DJ Dallas next season in a crowded backfield that's going to have a number of different running styles. From Q, do you think Seattle will attempt to re-sign KJ Wright? Well, I absolutely think they're going to attempt to, but even a few weeks ago, KJ Wright suggested that the Seahawks have not really been talking to him at all about this. So who knows what's happened since that point. The issue the Seahawks are going to be dealing with is where do they play KJ Wright and how much playing time is he going to get? And does that justify paying him what he has earned? He had one of his best seasons, if not his best season, in 2020, but he's going to be 32 years old. You have Jordan Brooks that you picked in the first round, and he's ready to play full-time snaps. He's not going to be just a sub-package player on early downs in base defense. He's going to be playing in nickel packages as well. You picked him in the first round for a reason. He's ready to be a full-time linebacker. If KJ Wright's going to be playing 50%, 55% of the snaps, you can't really justify with Seattle's cap situation giving him $8, $9 million per year or more than that. And I think there may be another team or two out there, even at his age, that may be willing to pay him that. And so I think the Seahawks are going to certainly throw an offer at him. I don't know if it's going to be good enough, though, given the other needs they have and the lack of money that they have to spend going into this free agency period. So again, another player, his future in Seattle, very much in doubt. Logan Hickman here. Corbin, do you think we will hear a restructure of contracts for Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner? I think it's still possible we could hear something on that front. Just because tomorrow is the first day of legal tampering does not mean teams are suddenly going to stop trying to negotiate things like this or make tough decisions about restructuring players. It certainly could happen, but I am surprised we are now at this point where we are now officially at the legal tampering period, and the Seahawks' only major move they've made to this point is cutting Carlos Dunlap. They re-signed Alex Collins. They have put a few tenders on restricted and exclusive free agents, but otherwise, it's been a very quiet offseason to this point. And I've been saying for several days that I think a big part of it's been they didn't know the salary cap, but now that that's become known and we're seeing other teams starting to restructure some players, I know it hasn't been something John Schneider likes to do, but this is a really weird season, weird offseason with the salary cap plummeting the way it did. I thought for sure we would see a few more moves. So it certainly could still happen. But again, I'm surprised that at least with Russell Wilson, that they didn't do that. And making such a move, restructuring his contract, moving a lot of that base salary to being a signing bonus would pretty much all but eliminate the possibility of him getting traded. So that would get a lot of fans really excited from that standpoint. But the fact that that move has not been made yet, of course, is going to keep some of those rumors flying around about the Chicago Bears and some of the other teams that were on Russell Wilson's shortlist if he was going to be traded. Next question here from Tatman Clan Killer 187. Who should Seattle go after at defensive back on the free agent market? I don't know that there's necessarily a DB right now that if I'm the Seahawks that I'm super excited about going out and trying to sign in free agency. Now, maybe they get a week into this and there's a veteran that makes some sense that's available for cheap money. But I think if they're not going to re-sign Shaquille Griffin or they're not going to bring back Quentin Dunbar on a one-year deal, I'm not sure that that's the route they plan to go. They have not had success signing cornerbacks in free agency and acclimating them to their system. If anybody remembers what happened with Kerry Williams a few years back, it just hasn't typically worked. They've normally had their most success with drafting corners and developing them. And there are some really intriguing corners that fit what Seattle likes on the outside in this draft class. I will be stunned if they don't draft one. I'd be really surprised, though, if they're aggressive going after any corners not named Shaquille Griffin, trying to re-sign him. I'd be surprised if they're being aggressive looking at some of the corners in the market. It's not a great corner market to begin with compared to a lot of the other positions. Master Messiah, do you think the Seahawks make a trade or move for Zach Ertz? Well, the latest reports that came out today suggested that the Eagles are looking for a third or fourth round pick in exchange for him. I can't see the Seahawks giving up that rich of a draft pick. They won't be doing it for this year. It would have to be a 2022 draft pick, and I don't think John Schneider wants to be giving up that type of a premium for a player that the Eagles, even though they're saying they don't want to do this, they may have to release because they're just trying to get over the cap right now. They were one of the teams that was in salary cap oblivion going into this free agency period. And so I'll be surprised if the Seahawks are going to be interested in making a move for him unless that drops down to being a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick. They certainly have had interest. They have called the Eagles about him. They are looking to upgrade the tight end position. There's no question about that. Jonnu Smith and Gerald Everett are two other players that I have heard are certainly tight ends they're interested in. They want to add a premium talent to that position. I just don't think they're going to be willing to give up that rich of a draft pick to get Zach Ertz. If they can get him for a late day three selection, particularly a 2022 pick, then I think they certainly would be open to that because he'd be a very good fit in Shane Waldron's system. But right now, I would say it's certainly less than 50% chance they're making that deal based on what the Eagles apparently are expecting back in return for him. Ronnie GG, who is a better fit for Seattle, Joe Thuney or Corey Linsley? So I've been saying this all along. I think both these guys, if you get either one of them, they're the top two offensive linemen right now in this free agent class, at least in the interior offensive line. I think both of them would be excellent fits. Thuney is a fantastic pass protector, has played mostly left guard. He has some snaps at center as well, but he could fill right into that left guard spot. Instant upgrade, a significant upgrade over what Seattle has had. At the same token, I still think Corey Linsley would be the player of those two that I would be most aggressive trying to go after because the center position is so important for communication, picking up blitzes, stunts, things of that nature. I feel like having a top quality center has a ripple effect on the entire rest of the offensive line. And Justin Britt was a solid mid-level starter for several years, but they have not had an elite talent in that position since they traded Max Unger. Joe Thuney would be a really nice pickup. There's no doubt about that. But Corey Linsley at the center position, I think, would make a lot more sense for the Seahawks. And I just think he's a great scheme fit too. He's been playing in a zone heavy offensive scheme in Green Bay the last 2 years. He's had some of his best seasons run blocking. So I think he'd be able to fit seamlessly into Shane Waldron's system. So I'd be picking Linsley, but again, either one of them, if Seattle added either one of these players, Russell Wilson would be very excited about that. Tech-Man Clan Killer 187, what's the odds for Seattle to go after Ryan Kerrigan? Well, I can tell you this, Kerrigan was on their short list at the middle of the season in 2020 when they were trying to add somebody to their pass rush. They ended up trading for Carlos Dunlap. Kerrigan was a player that they had on their short list as somebody that they were interested in trading in. He certainly is a player that when I look at this very saturated free agent market for pass rushers, he's older. He's 33 years old, going to be 33 years old. He's a player that I expect is going to be getting a one-year deal for significantly less than market price. I just don't see him being a guy teams are going to be lining up to throw big bucks at when most teams don't have money to spend anyway. he would be the kind of guy Seattle would be very excited about because he still was productive in limited snaps last year, 5.5 sacks. I think he could fit schematically anywhere, even though he's played a lot of his snaps in a 3-4 defense in Washington in his career. I think he can play that Leo position for the Seahawks, and I think he's still got plenty left in the tank. So he's a guy I would keep a very close eye on. I think he's on their short list. I would expect that's probably a positional group, unless they can re-sign Dunlap fast, that we probably won't see a lot out of the Seahawks for a few days. But Kerrigan might be a player that stays on the market for a while, that becomes affordable, that the Seahawks could certainly pursue. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. No, bro, could the Seahawks trade Tyler Lockett for draft picks? So this is based on everything that I've heard up to this point. I have not heard any speculation or reports. None of my sources have said that Tyler Lockett's on the move. There certainly have been a few other reporters out there that have thrown out ideas that there are teams interested in him. But from what I've been told, they haven't been shopping him. I'm not going to rule it out completely because the Seahawks could certainly use some draft picks. They only have 4 of them going into April's draft. But I don't think they'll be moving Tyler Lockett. The fact they haven't extended him, though, at least keeps the door open that that might be something they consider doing. But they could use a really good third receiver. You trade Lockett away, it just makes that position group an even greater need for Seattle with limited financial resources and limited draft picks. I'd be surprised. I'd be very surprised if they're going to move Tyler Lockett. Ben, is the Seahawks not making cap room before free agency a bad omen? So here's the thing. I'm surprised they haven't done more than what they have done to this point. I expected there would be at least one extension for a player. I thought there'd be at least one restructure, most likely Russell Wilson being the player that they decided to do that, open up to $12 million in instant cap space. I thought the Seahawks would do more stuff like that, and they haven't at this point. But again, the door is not slammed shut for them to do that. There's still plenty of time. News could come out tomorrow that they potentially are going to restructure a player or an extension is coming. And so I think the teams are going to continue to make these moves. This is a very unique year. I would expect you're going to continue to see teams finding ways to shuffle their roster around a little bit, shuffle contracts up so they can create cap space quickly. I think the Seahawks are going to be in that group. I would expect more activity on that front to create flexibility for them to be able to add players, re-sign some of their own guys in free agency. Corey Coleman, do you think Quinn Meinerz will still be there at pick 54? As of right now, I don't. I think Meinerz is going to be gone well before then. I will not be surprised if he is picked late first, early second round at this point. You don't see Division III linemen coming out of Wisconsin Whitewater normally being thrown around as late first round picks, but he lit it up at his pro day running a sub 5-second 40. And again, the 40-yard dash is not a big deal for me with offensive linemen, but putting up a 32-inch vertical at 320 pounds shows off the explosiveness. You watch him at the Senior Bowl, the way he held up against Division I, top Division I competition. He was one of the best players in Mobile. And so I think at this point, you consider what he did his pro day, what he did in Mobile, and just the film. I don't care that he was playing Division III talent. I mean, this guy looks like a legitimate NFL guard or center that could play snaps right away. So I'll be surprised if he's there at 54 for the Seahawks. If he is, they haven't normally drafted offensive linemen from small schools, but I think this would be the one exception where the Seahawks scouting department would be more than happy to vouch for this kid to be the pick for the Seahawks late in the second round. Sean Proper, reports out there are providing clarity regarding Russ in the coming days. What does your gut say? Russ, a Seahawk this season. I'm just going to stick with what I've said all along. I'll be very surprised if Russell Wilson's wearing any other uniform other than a Seahawks uniform next season. The cap hit, $39 million. Yes, there are ways they could work around that if they felt they absolutely had to move him. But this still seems like a situation where this can be fixed. This relationship can be repaired. I don't think it's just smoke. I do think Russell Wilson has sent warning shots here. He and his agent that this stuff needs to be fixed or we are going to force our way out. But they are not at that point right now. And I think all this discussion out there about other teams sniffing around, of course they're calling, but the Seahawks are not entertaining shopping him, at least at this point. Now, Seahawks don't do what they need to do in free agency in the draft, and Russell Wilson doesn't feel pleased with the direction the team's going, then it's going to be a very challenging 2021 season. And we could see Russell Wilson out of town after this year. I just think it's, at this point, looking very, very unlikely that he's going to be anywhere but Seattle in 2021. Zachary Williams, what are the odds the Seahawks actually sign a player tomorrow? They seem to be pretty quiet on day one of free agency most of the time. They do. That's not normally their MO unless they're re-signing one of their own players or they're placing a tender on somebody. I really don't know what to expect going into this week. Now, no players outside free agents at least can sign contracts until Wednesday. They can have discussions Monday and Tuesday, but they can't officially sign a player until Wednesday. I will be somewhat surprised if they go out and make a splash because that's just not the way John Schneider's operated. Certainly, they could go out and sign a mid-tier guy the first day of free agency. That is certainly possible. Right now, I would say 33%. 33% chance that we see them go out and make a significant signing on day one. And if you're asking which type of player it is, I would hedge more towards one of their own players being re-signed than I would an outside free agent at this point. Do I think they're going to be aggressive looking at some of the bigger names? I do. I think they will certainly be looking at guys like Corey Linsley, Jonnu Smith, that would fit their system. I just don't know that the money is going to be there and the Seahawks are going to be willing to pay what it takes to sign those players in free agency. That just hasn't been John Schneider's style. And there are a lot of really good free agents that are going to be available 3, 4, 5 days into free agency because of a saturated market and not much money for teams to spend. It really is a buyer's marketplace this year. And that could benefit John Schneider with the way he likes to operate, signing a lot of mid-tier free agents that are more on bargain deals. We'll see what he decides to do, though. Russell Wilson may force the issue. Maybe we see John Schneider more aggressive going after a big-name offensive lineman. Andy Petrish, how about Notre Dame's top tackle Liam Eichenberg going to the Seahawks at the end of the second round to replace Duane Brown as our future left tackle? I will admit, I think Eichenberg is a solid player, but I'm not necessarily sold on him, especially that early in the draft. I do think that he's a player that could step in and he could play some significant snaps for the Seahawks in the first year or two, but I have questions about his ceiling as a prospect. I actually like a couple of Notre Dame's offensive linemen entering this draft, aside from Eichenberg, a little bit better. He's certainly a guy that's played well against top competition at the college level. I just have some questions about how he holds up against speed rushers at the next level, and you got to be able to do that to play left tackle. So is Eichenberg a player that might be on the Seahawks list in the second round that they might be looking at? Absolutely. But I think there are a lot of tackles in this draft class that would probably be better scheme fits and that I think have more upside than what he presents. He's coming from one of the best programs at developing offensive linemen, though, and so that's certainly a big deal worth accounting for. Q, Trey Smith or Wyatt Davis, if they both fall to our pick late in the second round, I would go with Trey Smith out of those two, both very good prospects. Trey Smith's had some health concerns that'll have to be checked out. He missed some practice time, was dealing with a blood clot issue, but I'm assuming based on the reports that I've had and reports that I've read that he is doing well now. If his physical checks out, he's a guy that fits with the Seahawks like. He's a big bruiser. He moves well for his size. Coming from the SEC, has played against top-notch competition. He would be my pick of those two if the Seahawks were going to go at that position group with their pick at the end of the second round. Childy underscore Devin, if Carson leaves, would you predict the Seahawks making Penny the starter or picking up someone in free agency? I would hedge bets right now that what the Seahawks want to have happen if Chris Carson's not part of their 2021 plans. And again, I mentioned this earlier, I would not completely rule that out. I think it's unlikely, but I would not rule out the possibility he could still end up back with the Seahawks. But if he's not here, if he's not playing in Seattle and he's gone somewhere else, I think they want Rashad Penny to win that job. That would be the best outcome for them, is that their former first-round pick finally becomes a starter and proves what he's capable of doing on the field, stays healthy. Alex Collins got re-signed for a reason, though. They were happy with how Alex Collins ran in 3 games last year really was running with authority and took advantage of every opportunity he had. He earned that second chance. And so I think Collins is the one dark horse here you've got to watch closely, because he was a really good back for the Ravens for a couple of years before he got into some legal issues and was out of the league in 2019. This is a guy that's capable of being a workhorse back. If Rashad Penny doesn't show up at camp and steal the job, Alex Collins could absolutely be the guy. And maybe somebody like Mike Davis comes in free agency. As I mentioned earlier, there are some guys that I think will be affordable on the market they may take a look at to add insurance from a veteran standpoint. But I think they want Penny to win that job, and they're hoping that's what happens. If Collins up beating him out, then so be it. But they're certainly going to give all those guys a chance to compete. DJ Dallas will be in the mix as well. Penny would be the guy that I think they'd be most happy to see win that starting job, though, and redeem himself to an extent. YDD Muck, could John Ross be a steal for us? Could he? Absolutely. If he's able to stay on the field, he's had so many issues with injuries and inconsistent performance in Cincinnati. It just didn't work out. Now, 2 years ago in 8 games, he played really well. He lit up the Seahawks, actually, at Lumen Field, then CenturyLink Field, in the season opener a couple years ago. Had a touchdown late in the first half when he got past Tedrick Thompson. You saw flashes. He just wasn't consistent enough, and he just didn't do enough to earn playing time in Cincinnati. I think he's somebody the Seahawks could take a close look at. That's the kind of flyer that you take in free agency because of his world-class speed, the fact that he played at the University of Washington. He's a Pacific Northwest icon. He's a player with a lot of talent. It just didn't work out in Cincy. The Seahawks have taken chances on players like that consistently under John Schneider. I could see Ross being another one they take a look at. And with the weapons they've already got there, maybe if he's able to stay healthy, he can turn his career around a bit, rejuvenate himself in Seattle. Kevin Pham, good question here. Puna Ford is likely to get a second-round tender, but for next season, what would an extension look like? So I've been arguing for several months that I would be trying to extend Puna Ford right now. The Seahawks obviously have a lot of other contracts that are going to be coming up, Jamal Adams being one of them. Dwayne Brown's entering the final year of his contract, so is Tyler Lockett. And they've got all the free agents hitting the market now. So they've had a lot on their plate. From what I've been told, no serious discussions as far as an extension are concerned. So it's looking like they're going to have to go with the tender. That is yet to be made official. And so who knows what the Seahawks are going to do here in the next few days. But I was expecting a second-round tender on Puna Ford. As far as an extension goes, the real sticking point here is the most sacks he's had in the season was 2, and that was last year. So even though he's shown a lot better pass rushing ability the last year and a half, he had nearly 30 pressures last year. He's really coming into his own in that regard. He doesn't have the sack numbers that stack up with a lot of your highest paid defensive tackles. And so that's where the Seahawks are going to counter argue here when they're negotiating a contract with him. The sack production isn't there. So you're probably looking at a guy that's probably looking 6, 7, maybe 8 million per year that I think the Seahawks would be willing to pay. If it gets above that, I don't know they'd want to pay that because he hasn't proven himself to be an elite pass rusher. So I could see Puna Ford saying, hey, I'm going to prove myself on this second round tender from the Seahawks. And then if he has a big season, career high in sacks next year, Seattle's going to be in a tougher spot. You pay more money or you let him hit the market and you risk losing a player that's been invaluable for your defensive line since being signed as an undrafted free agent out of Texas. So right now, I think 6, 7, maybe 8 million per year is probably what you're looking at on a long-term extension with him. But you can give him a tender for a little under 4 million for this year. And if somebody else tries to sign him, you can get a second round pick in exchange. So I think that's what we're ultimately going to see now. Maybe they'll work out an extension after a tender is placed, but I'd anticipate next season probably playing on the second round tender at this point. Are you looking for a way to boost your workout game? Are you seeking a delicious protein bar without the sugar and carbs? Enter in the Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. Some of the best ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, peanut butter, double chocolate. You're going to have a tough time eating just one. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft, easy to chew. It's great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Gluten-free and preservative-free as well. Visit BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your order. Tecmo Clan Killer 187. If Von Miller gets cut, should Seattle go after him? Well, they absolutely should look at him if he gets cut by the Broncos. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll be very surprised if that happens, though. He's got his legal issues now behind him for the most part. Looks like they've settled that issue, but I don't think the Denver Broncos are going to cut him. I expect there's going to be some type of a restructured contract and they're going to keep him. But if he does hit the market, I could see the Seahawks being a team. You absolutely take a look. They never leave a stone unturned. Maybe there would be a potential fit there depending on when he hits free agency. I just don't expect him to. I think the Broncos will hang on to him based on what I've heard. Eradicator underscore NYC. Any chance the Seahawks bring back Quentin Jefferson? Of the two former Seahawks that got cut last week, Justin Coleman, the cornerback, being the other one, I think Jefferson has a much better chance of returning to Seattle. The reason I'm thinking Coleman, probably not likely, you've got Ugo Amadi and Marquise Blair is going to be coming back from his ACL injury. The Seahawks seem to be set at the slot corner position, and when they're playing big nickel, they can use Ryan Neal in that capacity as well. So they've got plenty of options. I just don't see a fit for Justin Coleman right now at the slot corner spot, especially with him probably getting a little bit more money than what those other players are. I just don't see the Seahawks doing that. Jefferson, on the other hand, because he can play inside a defensive tackle, he can play base defensive end and give you some valuable snaps there. That would make a lot of sense. They have some depth issues at defensive tackle. You might be able to use him in that capacity, some snaps. He can spell LJ Collier. We know what he can do in the system. He had two very solid seasons before going to Buffalo. So I think Jefferson's got a better chance than Coleman. I don't know that it's necessarily going to happen, though, because there are so many options out there on the market. The Seahawks are going to have a lot of alternatives to choose from. They may want to bring in a more viable pass rusher than what Quentin Jefferson is to upgrade their defensive line. Hawks fan, is there a chance of bringing Carlos Dunlap back? It's absolutely possible because of how saturated this market is. There's a ton of talent. Dunlap is 32 years old. So teams are probably going to want to be, they're going to be more willing to spend big bucks on some of those younger defensive ends, those younger pass rushers. But we saw the Cardinals spend a lot of money on J.J. Watt. Dunlap last year had as many sacks as Watt in his final eight games with the Seahawks. That strong finish, coupled with the fact that he was cut, teams don't have to worry about him counting against the compensatory pick formula. To me, that's a big reason why it's probably unlikely that Dunlap comes back, but it's certainly possible that his market isn't going to formulate as expected, and he could come back to the Seahawks for a little bit less, and Seattle would gladly welcome him back with open arms. That also being said, Seattle's got a lot of other alternatives to choose from, such as Ryan Kerrigan and a number of other players that are on the market that may be affordable on one-year deals. Again, this is a buyer's market. It could work in Seattle's favor with Dunlap. It could work in their favor signing somebody else to replace him at the edge rush. And so going to be very fascinating here over the next few days to see how free agency opens at that pass rushing position. YDD Muck, should we sign Leonard Fournette? Seems like we really wanted him last year and we offered him the most money when he got cut. I don't know about that. I didn't necessarily hear that the Seahawks offered him that kind of money. I don't know that that happened. But we know he fits the scheme. He's a downhill between the tackles runner. He's ran outside zone some. He's capable of doing that. He's a player Pete Carroll was excited about coming out of LSU. He was drafted in the first five picks, so Seattle was never going to have a chance to get him. But Pete Carroll loves his running backs. If Carson's gone, that might be one of those veterans that the Seahawks take a look at. Coming off of the Super Bowl performance, how well he played in the playoffs, though, he might be a bit more expensive than Seattle's willing to pay. When, again, I think they really want Rashad Penny to win that starting running back spot. Leonard Fournette coming in as extra competition, though, wouldn't be a bad thing at the right price. There's no question about it. C. Garcia, 54. Would you rather have the Hawks get Lane Taylor or re-sign Posick or get Lindsley as our only O-line signing? Well, again, Lane Taylor's been a solid, reliable offensive lineman in the NFL, but he's older than what Lindsley is. I think Lindsley, this is a no-brainer. You go and you get him. If you can't sign him, there's some other free agents on the market, David Andrews from the Patriots, Austin Blythe from the Rams, who knows the scheme that Waldron's going to be incorporating in Seattle. There are some other centers that I think will intrigue the Seahawks, and they can always go back to Ethan Posick if he is remaining unsigned. They could certainly sign him. But I think Lindsley would be the top target if they're truly wanting to go big in free agency at center. I don't see Taylor being a player that they're probably going to be in the mix for, but they could use him as a fallback guy potentially if they're not really able to get one of those big fish early in free agency. HB, should we bring Richard Sherman back? I wrote an article about this a few weeks ago. I think it'd be a great fit bringing him back. And I know some fans, when he left, was cut and went to the 49ers, there were fans that never wanted to see him in a Seahawks uniform again. But if Shaquille Griffin's gone, Sherman is still a very solid player. He missed most of last year injured, but he's still a very solid player. You know he fits your scheme. And the Seahawks have already brought back some familiar star faces over the past couple of years, Marshawn Lynch being the most notable, that they were able to mend bridges a little bit. I think they could still do that with Richard Sherman, and I think he'd be a great asset for young corners if they drafted one or two corners this year. I think he'd be a great asset to have around. And so I don't know that it happens. I think there are going to be some other teams with some interest. I don't know that the Seahawks are necessarily going to be one of those teams. They're going to be trying to get him back, but I think it would absolutely work. If the money lines up, maybe the Seahawks can bring him back to Seattle to finish up his career. He said he wants to play two more seasons. This would provide him that opportunity to play for a contender again, maybe win one more Super Bowl. It matches up for both sides. I just don't know if we're necessarily going to see it at this point, though. We've got time here for a couple more questions. Why did he muck? If TJ Vasher lasts in the seventh round, should we take a shot on him? Maybe move him to tight end. Vasher is a prospect I'm going to admit I haven't been as high on as a lot of Seahawks fans. I've had a number of fans that have asked about him. And obviously, you see some flashes on the film, and he's got great size. Maybe you could end up turning him into a hybrid tight end. I just don't know about the scheme fit, though, with what Seattle's wanting to do. I think they want guys that are more capable as inline blockers. I don't see a receiver to tight end convert like that. Now, could they take him in the late rounds at the receiver position? Certainly could, and playing out of the slot on the outside, there's some things they could do in Waldron's system that would be interesting. But I think that's about where I would probably pick him in this receiver class, the sixth or seventh round. This is a loaded receiver class, and he's more on my lower tier players. Has a high ceiling in the right system, but he's an unpolished player. He didn't have a ton of productivity necessarily at Texas Tech. Last question here coming from C. Garcia 54. Do the Seahawks have, or do you have the Hawks in the Casey Hayward signing mix? He's another player I'd maybe put in there like Richard Sherman that has been very productive in his career. He's getting to be an older corner. But if Shaquille Griffin is gone, then certainly the Seahawks could take a look there. He might be the kind of player that is going to get a lower than expected contract just because of the salary cap situation. And he's had a number of productive seasons back when he started his career in Green Bay and recently with the Chargers. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's been an All-Pro before in this league. So he's, again, another player that's later in his career that still may have another couple of good seasons in him. Might be somebody that Seattle takes a look at. But Seattle hasn't had a lot of success with veteran free agent corners over the years. Once again, I would expect the draft is probably where they're going to go if they're trying to stockpile at that position moving forward. As always, 12s, greatly appreciate having the opportunity to answer your questions. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can subscribe to our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, by visiting our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. Coming up on our Monday episode, I'll be rejoined by Rob Rang. We're going to be tackling the latest on free agency news. And it's Mock Draft Monday. Rob and I will actually be conducting a mock draft on tomorrow's show. Looking forward to seeing which players we bring into the fold as part of Seattle's 2021 draft class. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Go Hawks.